Welcome to Backline Banter, episode 12. And today we've got another banging podcast episode. We are going to be looking at the Premier League summary for game week 31. And of course, in that, we'll have the Liverpool experience talking about their game against Sheffield United and bringing back team of the week for this game week. So it's a good one. Stay tuned. If you haven't seen already, I do have a YouTube channel, so check that out. Backline Banter will be in the description as well. And without further ado, let's get straight into it. Usually, we start with the Liverpool experience, but we'll switch it up a little bit. Today, the first game, we are focusing on Nottingham Forest at home, beat Fulham 3-1. A massive, massive win for them. A much-needed 3 points. And to get them against Fulham, you do think they can do something, that's for sure. At home, Fulham, top quality as well, but you know, around them in the position table wise, you could say obviously Fulham do have more points than them overall, but Forest, wow, on their day, and this was definitely their day, they played pretty darn well, and good on them. Much needed 3 points, like I said, to keep above that relegation zone, and we'll hop into the goals. In the 9th minute, a great start for Forest. Hudson-Odoi scores a goal by a beautiful piercing through ball by Morgan Gibbs-White. Completely splits the defense. A perfect pass through there for Hudson-Odoi to run into. And he just continues the run inside the box, holds the defender off, cuts inside, takes a touch, and finds the corner beautifully. A bit sloppy by the Fulham defense. I thought they could have done a little bit better. That ball by Gibbs-White was sublime. They can't do anything about that. But just the man on Odoi, not too sure who it was. Just letting him turn him a little bit and giving him that space to shoot. Thought maybe he holds him up a little bit better and possibly he gets support. But that doesn't happen. And Forrest, like I said, get the start they wanted to make it 1-0. What a half of football by Forrest, you have to say. As in the 19th minute, they double their lead thanks to Chris Wood. A bit of brilliance by him. He just receives the ball in the middle of the pitch, a fair way out, and he just decides, it's not a lot on, I'm just going to turn and he shoots. Completely catching Leno, of course, the Fulham keeper, off guard. And wow, what a strike for him. And all Leno can really do is watch the ball go past him into the side netting. Definitely a goal Leno could have saved, but you never expect a player, you know, that far out. He just does it so quickly as well. Just received the ball, turned and shot. You're never expecting that to happen. And yeah, caught him off guard and a beautiful goal by Chris Wood. Just so smart. And that's why as a goalkeeper, you've got to be so switched on. But unlucky for Leno. Good by Chris Wood because it was a very nice finish as well. And pulls nothing into something, you've got to say. And they get the lead 2-0. But like I said, what a half by Forrest because, you know, they don't settle for the second. They keep playing the way they've playing. And in the 45th minute, plus 3 minutes added on, Forrest get the third goal. Morgan Gibbs-White this time. Him and Danilo play a 1-2 with each other. The two going to Gibbs-White in the box, takes a touch and places it into the corner. A perfect half for Forrest against Fulham. And yeah, beautiful play once again. Finishes at 2. I think that's what they're lacking at games at time. That finishing product, that last shot. And today they have been on fire for it. So a well-deserved 3-0 lead to take into the second half. But as you would expect, Fulham come out into the second half firing. And they do score early on. In the 49th minute, Fulham have a corner taken by Andres Pereira and beautiful delivery straight onto the head of Adebayor. Hope I'm saying that right. Adebayor, it sounds right. But straight onto his head, he puts it into the back of the net. And just what you expect, really, Fulham to come back into this game. And you think it is just one goal to possibly go on and equalize the game and maybe completing the comeback fully with scoring four goals in the half. But as we know, like I said, the scores full time was 3-1. So, you know, they scored early one, put their foundations set in place to come back into the game and get a point or maybe even three if they go to that next step. But they just don't, you know, like they had some chances, but they just couldn't capitalize on them. For a team, in my opinion, played very well this season, of course, inconsistent at times, and it just shows in this game here, you would have thought they put up a lot of a better fight, but I suppose Forest was just so good on the day at home, just everything going their way. Fulham just couldn't get anything out of it. So very well-deserved points for Forest and much needed, like I said at the start. Now they sit a few points above the relegation zone. And you've got to say, like I said, Fulham being a bit inconsistent, but when they are consistent and when they do play well, they are such a good team. But lately, seems like they're dropping a few points. Of course, last game, a draw with Sheffield. It was at Sheffield, but you still expect them to do the job over them. So again, no points for this one. Last week, just the one against Sheffield. And that's just why they're a bit below the mid-table, but still in that battle there. But we'll see if they can finish the season pretty well, get some wins, some more points, and see how far they can go in the Premier League table. Bournemouth 1, Crystal Palace 0. A result that you do expect, of course. You do think Bournemouth at home to beat Palace for sure, but you do think some more goals would be involved. Maybe one by Palace, a few more by Bournemouth, but just the one, and they get it pretty late on. A 79th minute goal by Justin Kluivert. A beautiful run by Semenyo on the right. Got past one player, goes in the box, and then cuts it back. And Justin Kluivert receives the ball, takes a perfect first touch he needed to get the ball past the defender, give him the space to shoot, and fires it into the top right-hand corner. Dispatched it absolutely beautiful. And, you know, they did have to wait for that goal a bit longer than they would have expected or liked, but the main thing, they get it in the end, and yeah, proves very, very important. Just the 1-0 win in the end, and I thought they did deserve the win, but they could have been more dominant as the possession was shared 50-50 for both teams, and the Cherries should have capitalized on their chances more with 11 shots, 6 on target to Palace's 3 shots, 2 on target. So, you know, very even in possession-wise, but Bournemouth with more attacks and Crystal Palace not with many, you have to say, only the 3 shots. But yeah, Bournemouth probably should have put more away, but like I said, they still get the 3 points. And honestly, bit of a routine win for Bournemouth. They're in very good form at the moment, you got to say, for Bournemouth, because in their last 5 games, they have won 4 of them and drawn 1. So doing very well, picking up the points and, you know, just pushing up in the table. And like I said last podcast, they've played fantastically this season, done very, very well. Just like Fulham, though, at times a bit inconsistent and they can just drop points where you don't think they should, or they just play bad where lately they've been playing good and all of a sudden it goes, you know, not well. But they are in 12th, very good for them. And it is a bit mental. It's so tight in that position. And they're only 4 points off seventh. So tight either side of the mid-table. And honestly, I don't back them to make Europe and, you know, push for that seventh spot. But I think it is definitely doable. They do have some tough games left in the Premier League, that's for sure. They have to verse Man United, Aston Villa away, Wolves away, Brighton, Arsenal away, Brentford and Chelsea away. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. They're going to have to pull something out of the bag if they... Well, obviously, they want to push high in the table. But if they want to keep their spot and just see how far they can go, really. Because I know at the start of the season, I don't think that other end of the mid-table... Well, no, that probably was in their target and they believe they could do it. But the European spot, they would have never thought that they would have had a chance this season. And yeah, it's going to need a little bit of a miracle, you know, if they want to get in the top half of the table. But definitely doable, that's for sure. A bit crazy, the shout for the Europe spot, but you never know. It is possible. Last five games unbeaten, you never know. But sadly though, for Palace, a disappointing season for them, you've got to say. Not doing much, only 8 points off the drop zone, and you do expect that they are in and around that mid-table, maybe just below it, but hopefully though, for Crystal Palace fans, they stay up, which I think they definitely will, and you know, hopefully for them, they just reset for next season, maybe get a couple players in, and you know, just do better as a whole. New manager, he'll have a proper time set to implement the way he plays into the players and a proper preseason, and they could be flying next year. But you never know. And to be fair to them, Elise and Eze have been injured a fair bit this season. You gotta say, they have taken a lot of hits, keeping out for a lot of games, but you know, teams do have that. You can't just rely on those main players. But for a team like Palace, it is a big loss for them. And as well, Guehi out for a while still. So yeah, I reckon they'll stay up for the rest of the season. But yeah, never know. That's why the Premier League is so good. But just to cap it off, a beautiful win for Bournemouth. Get it done. Doesn't matter what the scoreline is, as long as you get those 3 points, and a bit of a disappointing result for Palace. And yeah, we'll see if Bournemouth can keep it up. Burnley 1, Wolves 1. What a performance by Burnley, in my opinion. I honestly actually think they deserve to win the game. And of course, they were at home, but Wolves have been very good this season. It has to be said. Gary O'Neill doing wonders. When he got sacked before the Prem season started by Bournemouth, I genuinely could not understand why they did that, because he is a top-class manager, in my opinion. He came in for Bournemouth, kept them up, which that was a target, and even, you know, did more, because he made them play just so well together for the team they had at the time. You got to give him a round of applause there. But then, yeah, when I saw he got sacked, I could not believe it. I don't know why they did it. I honestly think a bit of it was just because, you know, he's not a big name and he's not very proven, not a lot of experience. But, you know, how do you get experience if you're not allowed to gain experience, you know, like a bit of a tongue twister there, but I just couldn't understand it. So when I saw him go to Wolves, very, very excited for him. And yeah, this season, absolutely quality for them. And he's made Wolves do so well this season compared to last season, especially. But sadly, in this game, they've still got their big players out with injury, you know, Dawson, Hwang Hee-chan, Bellegarde, Neto, and Cunha actually was back from injury and he made a little 15-minute appearance. But like I said about Palace, you've still got to do the job without some of your big players, so they still would be disappointed with the result. And that's why I think Burnley did fantastically well to even get a point, because Wolves with Gary O'Neill this season being unreal. So very good performance by him. And into the goals. Burnley scored first at home, the start they wanted in the 37th minute by Larson. But what a cross by O'Shea. And you've got to say, what a player he has been lately for Burnley. He puts the ball perfectly into the path of Larson, who just hits it on the volley and absolutely slots it bottom corner. The keeper, Jose Sarr, has absolutely zero chance to save it, and Burnley do get the first goal of the game. And it's coming to the end of the first half. Burnley think they've kept their lead very well, 1-0 into halftime. See if they can extend and, you know, just work on it in the second half. But right before halftime, Ait Nouri equalizes it. Another amazing cross, but this time obviously for Wolves by Pablo Sarabia, and just puts it in a dangerous area. A nice set piece play, and Ait Nouri jumping, you know, and slightly dive and jump, you could say, absolutely buries it into the back of the net and equalizes the game. Of course, 1-1, that was all the goals. A pretty even game, but I do think Burnley deserved to get all 3 points. You know, I thought they just edged the game in their favour. But that's not the case, and now they're only 4 points behind Luton. So it's looking good for them. And like I said last podcast episode against Chelsea, how they got a point there. It was very, very good for them and just vital for them to keep winning points. Of course, they do want the 3 instead of just the 1, but every little bit helps. And you just think if they can keep doing it, keep ticking it over, getting the points up, get a win here and there, they could maybe stay up. So good stuff by Burnley, and it ends 1-1. Newcastle 1, Everton 1. After Newcastle's dramatic late goals and the comeback they pulled off against West Ham last week, well, really a few days ago, you would have thought they would beat Everton at home. Not comfortably, but you still think they would have got the 3 points regardless. But a goal early on for Newcastle by the main man, Isaac. Harvey Barnes just plays a very nice ball through to Isaac, and then wow, this bloke's dribbling is phenomenal. He's so, you know, tall. I've got to say he's like 6'2", maybe, you know, possibly 6'4". Like, yeah, very, very tall. And usually, you know, with those taller players, their dribbling just isn't as good. But I got to say, Isaac's dribbling is top class. It really is. And yeah, he just gets a ball under control, cuts inside to beat one defender, and then glides in between another, gives him enough room to shoot, and finds the bottom right corner. Keeper's got no chance, and it was just wow. Like, genuinely, so silky, so fluent by a man of his stature. Isaac, very, very well. And yeah, beautiful goal, and gives the lead to Newcastle early on. But throughout the game, Newcastle can't take any more of their chances. And you've got to say, they probably should have won the game. But if you're not clinical with your chances, you don't put the ball in the back of the net, you don't win games. And they can't extend on their lead, and Everton get a penalty. A cross was whipped in, and just two players, one from Everton, one from Newcastle, just very physical. And honestly, the Newcastle player wrestling the Everton player to the ground. I'm not too sure who it is, that's why I'm just saying the team name. But yeah, to the ground, it's definitely a penalty, you know, fair enough, because it was way too much contact in the box, giving the attacker no chance to jump and ultimately bring him to ground. And Calvert-Lewin steps up to take the penalty and, of course, dispatches it. Okay, to be honest, you would have thought he buries it easy as you like, but, you know, it still went in, but not that convincing, you've got to say. He just hits it at the left side, not far enough in the corner or high enough, and Dubravka gets a bit of a hand to it, but it's just not enough to push it away over the bar and hits the roof of the netting, really. That's how close it was, but still goes in. And you know what they say, a goal's a goal. It doesn't matter what, but yeah, it could have been more convincing. But with that, it ends all level 1-1. A good 0.1 by Everton, but Newcastle just disappointed to drop 2 points, you've got to say. And really, that's about all on the game. Not too much to speak about, just teams playing with a ball, not too many attacks, not too many chances, and of course, only the one goal for each side. So we will move on. West Ham 1, Tottenham 1. Always an entertaining game, this one, the London Derby, but it ends as a draw. Very even game, to be honest. Both teams not taking all their chances, and especially West Ham, I've got to mention this chance. Antonio probably, I think definitely, should have given the lead for West Ham when it was 1-1 at the time to make it 2-1. And you never know when something changes, but we'll just say in this scenario, you know, to win them the game, he just got the ball, played over the top, beats the defender, like drops to the floor. Well, one knee, you know, drops to the floor quickly, picks himself up and just has the keeper one-on-one to beat. All he's got to do is put it to his side, and Antonio, being so experienced, you expect him to slot it, but it's just a very, very tame shot, and Vicario is able to pretty easily save it. And yeah, a man with that quality, Antonio, you think 100% this is a goal, but I guess he was quite gassed because he did, you know, all the hard bit, getting past the defender, they're getting the ball over the top, bang, and then he takes a shot and just doesn't have enough oomph or accuracy to beat Vicario. And I know he definitely would have been disappointed with himself because he would have thought he scored as well, doing all the hard bits. But when it comes to the easiest bit, you've got to say, in that chance, just misses. You know, that's a goal he scores every time in training, picks a side, blasts it past the keeper, easy as you like, but not the case on this opinion. And that's what I'm saying about both teams not taking their chances. But into the chances that actually scored. Brennan Johnson scores early for Tottenham in the 5th minute. Easy as you like. One of the easiest goals he'll get in his career, you've got to say. Just a nice little tap in. Werner was just in the box, done a nice dribble and cut it back to him. And honestly, you've got to say, lately, Timo Werner has been playing pretty well. Not getting too many goals and assists to show for it, but I think as of recent, he's stepping up his game. Then in the 19th minute, Zouma scores from a header via a corner. Bowen whips it in and the West Ham players do very well to block Vicario. And he tries to run around them, Vicario, and try and, you know, get a punch on it and do something to the ball, but he just can't get around the players quick enough. And to be honest, he gets caught out. So Zouma has a pretty open goal, you could say. Well, especially the side that he was shooting on. And yeah, beautifully dispatches it into the corner. And yeah, even if Vicario stood still on the line and tried to save it, I don't think he would have. But by that, you know, nice set piece play, you've got to say, by West Ham, by putting some players near the keeper, trying to block his path to the goal, it makes Zouma's chance 100% to go in. And yeah, that's all the games for the game. 1-1. The two teams are only separated by 2 places in the Premier League table, but Spurs do have 9 more points than West Ham. And you've got to say, West Ham only 3 points off Man United in 7th. So, you know, if they finish the season pretty well, they could be pushing for that sixth spot. I believe that gives you Europa League, but I think in general, all the competitions are like getting changed next season. So the spots are different. Like the fifth spot, you're also in the Champions League. So then I'm thinking, well, sixth and seventh are Europa and maybe eighth Europa Conference. Like, I'm not too sure, but of course, any team wants to push up the table as high as they can, pass other teams, especially Man United. So they keep it up and Man U keep their form up, then you definitely expect that to happen. But like I said, a pretty good game, only the two goals, but the points are shared in the London Derby. Brentford 0, Brighton 0. Not too much to talk about this game, to be honest. Of course, goalless, but sadly for Brighton, in my opinion, and I think to the public eye, really, they miss out on the 2 points. Just unable to put their shots away because they did have 24 shots and 6 on target. Just very dominant, as well as having 67% possession to Brentford's 33. And Brentford also had 5 shots, 2 on target. So clearly Brighton coming to Brentford's ground, and I wouldn't say playing them off the park, but definitely being the better team and very unlucky not to get the goal to give them all 3 points. But luckily for Brentford, their defense so solid. Their goalkeeper, Mark Flecken, what a keeper he is, made 6 big saves. And yeah, like I say, Brighton very disappointed that it stays goalless and they get a draw, only getting the 1 point. But for Brentford, however, I would say is a good result for them, because Brighton, you know, very good this season. They're in 10th and Brentford are 16th, only separated by 14 points. And wow, I actually thought it would be a lot more than that, to be honest. Yeah, wow. Well, not too much separation. Of course, 14 points is a lot, but I would have thought maybe we're pushing 20, as you know, Brentford this season just, it hasn't been it for them. And Brighton, especially at the start of the season, did very well, but only 14 points. But regardless, a good result for Brentford. Brighton, very disappointed. I believe De Zerbi was saying in the interview that this is a game where we didn't win a point, we lost 2. And I completely agree with it. And bit of a disappointing game, because I think this definitely could have been a blockbuster. Goals galore, or at least for Brighton, that's for sure. But it ends 0-0, and yeah, just not a lot to talk about, to be honest. So we are going to move on. Arsenal 2, Luton 0. Again, a game where you don't have to talk a lot, because this is just routine from Arsenal, you know, very expected. Maybe you think Arsenal should have scored a couple more goals, but, you know, a win's a win. They did rest a few of their players in this game, as Reece Nelson, Thomas Partey, Smith Rowe, Zinchenko and Trossard started. Obviously, you know, putting Kiwa, Rice, Jorginho, Saka and Jesus on the bench to give them a rest, which very good squad usage, you could say, by Mikel Arteta, because this month, so many games in the Premier League, and then they've also got the Champions League, the 2 Champions League fixtures against Bayern Munich. So very big month for the big clubs. And yeah, Arsenal wanting to do well in all those games, of course. So when they can rest him, if they have the chance, is a very, very good play. And of course, it pays off. They win 2-0, 3 points, easy as you like. And that's just so good for the Arsenal squad, given some players starts, you know, some more game times, and then given the regulars just a rest. So you don't get a lot of injuries. Well, hopefully, at least not, you wouldn't think. And they just get a nicer recovery, have more, you know, fitness, energy into the next game and keep pushing on. The two goals for Arsenal, the first one, a good goal by Martin Odegaard. In the 24th minute, Smith Rowe just applying pressure to Luton and he causes the turnover. Havertz gets the ball, plays it to Odegaard in the box and just slots it easy as you like. It's just so routine. Honestly, it bores me very much so seeing Arsenal just, oh yeah, win 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, however many goals. I want them to drop as many points as they can, you know, being a Liverpool fan. But even so, it's just like, oh yeah, they win, you know. Still unbeaten this year in the Premier League, 2024. And yeah, you know, fair play. Good on them. I'm sure Arsenal fans, well, I know Arsenal fans are very, very happy at the moment. Then their second goal just before halftime, Smith Rowe once again with the ball in the box, holds it up and plays a ball across the goal for Nelson to tap it in, and he does so. But on second look, it actually came off the Luton defender, Hashioka. I hope I'm saying that right. I don't think I am, but he puts it into his own net, actually, just tries to get a touch away. And to be honest, surprisingly for this one, if he didn't touch it at all, it wouldn't have been a goal because Reece Nelson was in front of him on his left side and then Smith Rowe passing the ball across to the right. But he's just trying to stop Nelson as much as he can and then it comes off him instead, goes in the goal, gets put down as an own goal. So it's a bit unlucky by him, you know, it happens. And yeah, no more goals in the game. They settle with that 2-0. They got a couple more chances, but really they just hold the ball, play it round, and yeah, just enjoy the win. So like I said at the start, expected result, of course, and it puts them back on the top of the Premier League. But it does not stay like that for long. Liverpool, of course, beat Sheffield United 3-1. My thoughts on the game was it was pretty good. Like, we dominated, don't get me wrong, but it was just that final finishing, the last shot that we couldn't get down pat. And it didn't cost us, of course, we won the game, but we made it a lot harder for ourselves. And this is definitely a problem where it could cost us in bigger games. So we had 29 shots, 9 on target with 83% possession to Sheffield 17% possession, 5 shots and 3 on target. So, I mean, like I said, we dominated so much, but we just couldn't put them in the back of the net. And I don't know why that is a problem now. It is very annoying because we've got such quality players, Salah, Nunez, Diaz, but we just can't hit the back of the net. I don't know. It's just not flowing. But luckily, McAllister, you know, can step up, score a banger to put us in front. But I'll quickly run you through the lineups for this game. So, of course, Liverpool having Kelleher in net, Konate and Virgil van Dijk in the two centre-back roles, Bradley right-back, Gomez left back, Szoboszlai, McAllister and Gravenberch in the middle of the park, Salah, Nunez and Diaz up front. So a very good squad, nearly back to the best, I'd say. Of course, you know, we did rest Endo and Robbo's still coming back from injury, you could say, because the ankle injury picked up in international break, but it's looking pretty darn good, I will say. And with the win, of course, puts us back on top of the Prem. Arsenal don't stay on it for very long. And yeah, we capitalise, get the 3 points. Was a bit more difficult, I will say, because really we only scored 2 goals, you could say. Because Nunez in the 17th minute, just beautiful pressure. Like, this is what he does every game. The goalkeeper's got the ball, he is sprinting for it. And finally, he gets paid off. Sheffield's keeper just holds it too long and then finally releases it. But Nunez sprinting and jumping high, gets on the end of his kick and then deflects into a goal. Like, So good. You love to see it. And Nunez deserved it so much. And like I said, we were so dominant for the rest of it. Just couldn't put them away. Then Sheffield score in the 58th minute. Well, really, Connor Bradley, an own goal. A cross gets put into Brenton Diaz, I believe, from memory. And then he heads it down across Goldwoods, but he heads it down into Bradley's foot. And it just comes off his shin through Kelleher's legs and definitely goes down as an own goal. So it was just very unlucky, really, to be honest, because, of course, Bradley wasn't there. It wasn't going in, but the way, yeah, it bounced off him and the way, because, you know, the Sheffield player is definitely not trying to do that. He's just trying to shoot at goal, to be honest, I think, and he just, you know, messed it up a little bit. So not the one for us indeed. But once that happens, we keep probing away. Sheffield looked good for a little bit, and then we get back on top of the game, and McAllister, what a goal sign. Goal of the season contender, that's for sure. Absolutely smacks it top corner. What a man, what a finish. And while we're talking about McAllister now, he is my man of the match for this Liverpool game. You know, I think everyone played pretty well, but just no one really standing out apart from this man. And lately, mate, oh my gosh, he has been so good and he does it again. Unreal. Then, thankfully, we cap off the game. We seal it off. Gakpo scores in the 90th minute. A beautiful ball by Robertson just floats over the defenders and into the path of Gakpo, and he headers into the net. Absolute unreal. And with that assist too, Andrew Robertson goes back on top of the list of most assists from a defender of all time, above Trent. Just one more. So, things you love to see. Hopefully, Trent coming back soon, but you love to see that. And yeah, good on Gakpo coming on and slotting that finish away. And that's pretty much all. There were, you know, the subs that we usually talk about, but the only one that really stood out to me was Salah off in the 60th minute. I think it's a good call by Klopp. I think, you know, what he says goes, that's for sure. Salah definitely not happy with that, but when you're so good, you got to have that mentality of, I'm the best, of course, and you always want to stay on and see if you can score. So yeah, you're never going to be happy getting subbed off, but I think it was a right play. Wasn't doing a lot. And yeah, bring on some fresh legs, Harvey Elliott, and I think that's got to be record timing, because that is going to be the quickest I've ever talked about a Liverpool game. I mean, mainly the reason, to be honest, I'm recording this, I'd say 4-5 days after the game. Game happened Friday my time, and now it's Monday. So, okay, more like three slash four. But yeah, so I don't really remember, and I don't have a lot of notes on it, and I also don't have a lot of time. So yeah, we're kind of just sprinting through it a little bit. It might be a bit of a shorter podcast overall, but you'll see what I'm working on, and just in general, it is a lot. A lot of teams playing quickly. Like at the time of recording, Liverpool and Man U played this morning, so it's like, damn, I got to get another one out for the next game week, which it should be out in a few days. So yeah, grinded it out, but that's it. Liverpool win 3-1 against Sheffield United. Welcome to the highlight round. So for now on, in the podcast episodes, or at least I'll try to do, for every episode, there will be one matcher, one round, one game where I decide this one is the best one or had the best scoreline, whatever it may be. I'm going to record this one and then post it on the YouTube channel and maybe have some, you know, cool visuals on the screen. So it is more entertaining for you, the audience. So today we have Chelsea versus Man United. So as we know, the game ended 4-3 to Chelsea. Some late, late minute drama. That is unbelievable, really. What a game. You can't express it more than that. It really was fantastic. You've got to say it. Just possibly one of the best games of the season, you could say, because so much drama. You know, Chelsea go up 2 goals and then Man United pull it back from the depths to be in front 3-2. Then, of course, as we know, right at the end, it ends 4-3 to Chelsea. Cold Palmer, that's what we're calling him now, with a hat-trick. 2 last-minute goals, one in the 90th plus 10th minute and the other in the 90th plus 11th minute. Absolute unreal scenes. I can't lie, I didn't watch this game. And usually for the highlight rounds, well, for now on, I've tried and watch that game, so I just have a bit of better knowledge on it. But this one, I just looked at the scoreline when I woke up. I went, wow, that is unreal. I could not believe it. And what's the highlights? Insane. So before we jump into the highlights and the goals, and I can't really say my thoughts on the game because I didn't really watch it. But what I could say is Man United, bit unlucky not to keep the win. And yeah, they fumble right at the end and Cole Palmer steps up and takes the spotlight to win Chelsea the game. So we'll run through the lineups first. For Chelsea, and for this, I'm going to be looking a bit down because I got the laptop there, so I read it out. I'm not memorizing that by hand. So for Chelsea, in goals, of course, Petrovic. Right back, Gusto. Left back, Cucurella. The two center halves, Badiashile and De Sassi. Their midfield two, you could say how they play, those defensive players, Enzo Fernandez and Moise Caicedo. Then in the attack and midfield, you got Cole Palmer, Gallagher, Mudryk, and Nicholas Jackson up front. As for Man United, they have Onana in goals, Wan-Bissaka right back, Maguire and Varane as the centre-halves, Diego Dallo left back, Casemiro and Kobbie Mainoo in the defensive midfield roles, with Bruno Fernandes as the attacking midfield, of course, Antony on the right, Garnacho on the left, and Højlund up front. So with those lineups, you've got to say it is probably the best lineups they could produce. Maybe for Man United, Rashford on the right, and then for Chelsea, when Nkunku comes back from injury, maybe him up front instead of Jackson. And then maybe you could argue Sterling for Mudryk. Just depends on what you more prefer. But I think that's pretty solid. And yeah, just what a game, like I've spoken about. Unreal. You do have to say, though, Moise Caicedo had a bit of a stinker. He made the fatal error for Man United's first goal. Just played the ball across, tried to hit Badiashile, but completely missed it and just let Garnacho run onto it, full steam ahead it, take a few touches and slot it past the keeper, easy as you like. But for the rest of the squad, it was pretty good for Chelsea, I thought. Lacking in that attacking sense, they just had a lot of tacks but couldn't finish the product really. And then, you know, Cole Palmer stepping up in the end, absolutely mental. For Man United, I thought they were pretty solid all round. Again, I do apologise because I didn't watch the game. I'm kind of not really getting the full sense of how they played and I can't really comment too much. So we'll jump into the goals. Chelsea do get the first 2 goals of this game. Very good play. A perfect start, you could say, for them. Gallagher scores in the 4th minute. Enzo Fernandez is in the box. He tries to cut it back to Gallagher. Well, I don't really know if it was to Gallagher, but he just tried to cut it back. The Man United defense get a little touch on it, bit of a deflection, and then it falls to Gallagher. And mate, beautiful, takes it first time and hits the bottom corner. Easy as you like, and give him the lead early on. Then, like I said, Chelsea, their second goal, Cole Palmer has a penalty, takes it and slots it. Easy as you like, really. It is just routine now. That's his 7th penalty goal for the season. And for Man United, Antony just gave it away, was just not careful enough on Cucurella. He had the ball and just stepped into him, and yeah, it's definitely a penalty, and Cole Palmer steps up. What more do you expect, really? And Chelsea, very good at home, get the lead. But Man United start their comeback. So their first goal, I already spoke about when I was talking about Caicedo, just misplaced the pass into the middle, did not hit Badiashile, and yet Garnacho was able to run on and then slot the finish. Their second, however, Bruno Fernandes gets his head on the ball, a beautiful cross by Diego Dalot, inch perfect, you could say, because it just allows Bruno, I mean, he was already in the space, really, didn't have to move much, just take a few steps, look at the ball, bang, guide it into the net. Beautiful finish, composed. I mean, really, it was an easy finish for him because Diego Dalot put it on a plate. So, very good play there. For Man United's third goal to complete the comeback and put them in front, Antony does very well. He gets the ball on the right, drives up, beats a player, and then puts a pitch-perfect cross into the middle, which just allows Garnacho to header into the goal. Keeper comes out because it was just a beautiful ball. Keeper wasn't too sure, do I stay, do I go? And it looked pretty appetizing for him to get to the ball. But Garnacho gets there first, takes a bounce, and yeah, like I said, easy-headed finish for him to put Man U in front. Very good play by Antony. Beautiful cross. Another good cross. Diego Dalot, then Antony. Maybe that is what Man U are trying to do to get the goals now. And Garnacho, with his second of the game, gets a brace, does very well. But like I said, this is some of the best late drama you will ever see. Cole Palmer in the 90th plus 10th minute and the 90th plus 11th minute. Wild, wild scenes. It really was. And, you know, Man United think they've won the game. Beautiful 3 points. We will very happily take that. Tough fought win, to be honest, because they had to come back from that 2-goal deficit. But they did the job and I thought, wow, let's go. You know, we are living. But like I said, Mr. Ice Cold Palmer gets a penalty, which he slots up. I don't know if he feels pressure. Genuinely, that is how good he is with the pens. It's always like side corner, side corner. Fantastic finishes. And that penalty goal puts it for his 8th of the season. So he scored 16 goals in the Prem this season, 8 of those being from the spot. So phenomenal. He just handles the pressure and is definitely a very good penalty kick taker. But it's a bit of a buzzkill for Man United. They think, oh, they've won the game, but a late equaliser, oh well, you know, the points are shared, we'll take that and we'll move on, because it was at Stamford Bridge, so a point is not too bad, to be honest. Anything could have happened on the day. But no, Chelsea still have one last say in the game. They get a corner right at the end of the game, of course, after Palmer slotted his second of the night, and Chelsea take that short. Cole Palmer receives it. He takes a touch inside the box. It's got space, so he fires it goalwards. And to be honest, it wasn't the best shot, really. But with his powerful shot, it hits Scott McTominay on the arm, on the shoulder, really, you could say. So tucked by his side and deflects into the goal. Sends Onana the wrong way because, of course, he's following that ball before the deflection hits, but the deflection happens and he scores the goal. 2 late minute goals. He gets his hat trick and wow, genuinely, there must be no better feeling in the world to score a hat trick in the Prem against Man U at home, and 2 of those 3 goals are so late on. Like, genuinely, wow. And yeah, Man U are left stunned, frustrated, any word you can think of, really, because so mixed emotions. But Chelsea are absolutely living life, laughing. They get the 3 points. They rip it completely off Man United and get the win 4-3, of course. So what a game. And it was funny too. I saw a couple of things like Garnacho got given the man of the match in, you know, like the 89th minute, as they do right at the end of the game. And it's like, yeah, fair enough. He scored two goals to one Man U the game. Fair enough. But of course, with Cole Palmer getting two more goals, getting his hat trick to win Chelsea the game, they overturned the decision and gave it to him. So I just saw that. I thought I'll point it out. And you've got to say, for Man United, Ten Hag, is he the right man? They've given him time and time. And this season, it still hasn't been good. Of course, they've suffered with injuries, but every team at the top has, I feel like. So you've just got to make those questions. But, you know, I don't follow Man U too much, so I'm not going to comment a lot on that. But, yeah, what a game, and I hope you enjoyed the highlight round. I thought just something different. I'd want to integrate these, like I said previously, into a full-on, you know, video podcast the whole time. But it's just a little bit difficult to find how to do it and takes time, more time at least. So yeah, we'll just see how we go. And I thought this is a step in the right direction. So if you have enjoyed, then of course, give me a subscribe, leave a like, whatever you can do to help me out will be greatly appreciated. And then go over to Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast, because it should be on most podcasting apps, and search up Backline Banter, give me a follow, and then you can listen to the full episodes on there. The last game in the Premier League this game week, Manchester City 4, Aston Villa 1. A massive game between the two teams, third versus fourth. Villa, of course, you know, do have some injuries in McGinn, Kamara, Martinez, Buendia, Ramsey, House, Cash, Watkins and Mings. So that kind of does reflect on the scoreline, 4-1. A lot of their big and a fair few main players out. But nonetheless, 4-1, big Phil Foden, 3 goals, gets a hat trick. You love to see that for him. And yeah, City dominant. It wasn't really not a proper Aston Villa squad, but not a regular one, that's for sure. As I'll quickly read you through that one. So Olsen in goal, right back Konsa, Carlos and Lenglet in the centre backs, Digne on the left, Douglas Luiz and Eric Benham in the defensive midfield role. I don't think I've said that very right, but yeah, he's usually on the bench for Villa. I believe this is his second start this season. Zaniolo, Diaby, as you know, left mid, right mid kind of thing. And then Rodgers and Duran. And then Rodgers in the attack and midfield role and Duran up front. So yeah, like I said, they've got some injuries. It's a bit of a different squad. The back four, pretty similar, but everyone else is a bit different. And then you go to City's lineup. Ortega in goal, Akanji, Diaz, Gavardio as the centre backs, Rico Lewis and Rodri in the DM role, Doku, Foden, Silva, Grealish in the midfield slash attack, and then Alvarez up front. So, you know, you see that, and especially Man City at home, you 100% expect them to win, and that's what they did pretty comfortably in the end, which is fair enough. The goals in this game, Rodri scores early on in the 11th minute. Doku cuts it back to him in the box, and Rodri puts it away sublimely too. Absolute top corner netting finish. Too high for the keeper to save it. And I don't think that was real English, but that's what I've got in the notes. And I'm kind of just rushing through it. But a beautiful finish by Rodri, giving Aston Villa's keeper, Olsen, no chance to save it. But 9 minutes later, Villa do equalize. Pretty surprisingly, to be honest. Duran does a 1-2 with Rodgers, and the pass by Rodgers, wow, perfect. Breaks the line for Duran to run onto, brings Ortega out a bit, and Duran slots it beautifully in the corner past Ortega. A very good reply from Aston Villa, and I really hope I'm saying the bloke's names right. Duran. I like Duran, but I could be saying that wrong. Apologies if so. But then It's 1-1, but you are now watching the Phil Foden show. He scores a hat trick, like I said, 3 goals, insane. His first goal, Foden wins a free kick outside the box, takes it, and you've got to say, Zaniolo jumping out of the way, Foden hits the corner. Villa's keeper, Olsen, just not expecting it at all because he would have thought the wall stopped it, and it definitely should have, but Zaniolo, bit of a wuss, you got to say, jumps out of the way of a firing ball into him, and yeah, Foden gets a bit unlucky, but at the end of the day, he's on the end of that ball, he's putting it into the back of the net, and poor from Zaniolo, really, there's not much better ways to put it, jumps out of the way of the wall, and cost Villa a goal. So Foden second, Rodri plays him the ball just inside the box and takes it first time, hits the post and in. A perfect finish, giving Olsen no chance to save it. Just so clinical from Foden. Then for his very impressive hat trick, Chambers takes the ball off Foden but tries to play it out, gets caught on the ball, gets actually caught out by Foden. He wins it back. And then takes a touch and strikes it studdingly into the top right-hand corner. He was falling while do so, so it probably helped him a bit to get the height on the ball. But wow, another unreal goal, another hat-trick for the season. And you've got to say, form he is in, insane, genuinely, it is mental. And yeah, again, Olsen's got no chance. I don't think he played a bad game because the goals that went in, unsavable, really. So good on Phil Foden getting another hat trick, showing England why he's so good. And a game finishes 4-1 to City. Welcome to my team of the week for game week 31. Like I've been saying, I'm trying to get these podcasts in a bit more video integrated, just more entertaining for you. So things such as, you know, the highlight round, team of the week, fun segments that we do, like maybe when I do blind ranking as well, I will try and record myself doing it, post it on the YouTube as well as it being in the full podcast itself. So yeah, should be a good one. Enjoy backline banter. As we go to, I will have, you know, a bit of visuals on the screen, probably around there. Of my team of the week and maybe the players, their stats of the games they played, just, you know, kind of justifying why I've put them in my team of the week for this game week. And to start off, I will tell you the formation. So it's a bit of a different one, I'll be honest, because it's very much attack, few defenders, and yeah, a bit hard to explain, but that is why if you pop over to the YouTube channel, you will see the visuals on screen and little bit more easier to understand. So I'm going for a 3-1-2-3-1, you could say. So you should be able to see now, but it's 3 centre backs and obviously the goalkeeper behind him with 2 defensive midfielders, 1 attacking midfielder, and then 2 people on the wings, you could say, but they're also in the midfield. They track back as well, and then 1 up front. So we'll start off with the defense. So I picked 3 at the back because I thought there was a lot of good attackers slash midfielders, and it's always a little bit difficult sometimes to find a left back and a right back. So just done the back 3. So the first center back for my team of the week, and I do apologize if I'm looking a bit over that way, it's just because I got a little mirror behind so I can see the recording's going finally, and I'm just watching myself when I should be looking there, but I really, apologies, but my 3 defenders. So the first centre back I have got is O'Shea. Now, the Burnley defender, I think he's done really well this game week against Wolves. Lately, I think he's been doing really well for Burnley as well. I think I said it in the podcast earlier, but he's just very, very solid, you know, playing balls over the top, getting a couple of assists, even scoring a few goals. And of course, you know, my team of the week doesn't matter on how they performed the last week or how they have been performing, but I just thought I'd mention it. And yeah, against Wolves, they did concede the 1 goal, so didn't get that clean sheet, but was a very big vital role to not concede anymore. And like I said, got the assist for the goal for Burnley. And yeah, solid as you like. And he's what you want from a center back. And yeah, he deserves a spot in the team of the week. My next center back in the team, I have Kelly, the Bournemouth right back. Well, he played right back in the game, but honestly, his primary position is in that center back role. So he can do a job. Yeah, he didn't play it on the weekend, but I can move him into that middle. And I think that is a right play. And yeah, he just played solid. Arguably the man of the match for that game. I think he was for what I watched of it. And yeah, super solid. It was only 1-0 scoreline, so he did well to keep the clean sheet and, you know, provided some attacks with those overlapping runs. And yeah, overall, I thought it was a good performance. So he deserves a spot on the team. And the last center back in this back three is Collins. Now, the Brentford defender, they got a draw against Brighton, 0-0. And I think, of course, Brighton's whole defense deserves a round of applause. And their goalkeeper, which I'll get onto in a bit. They deserve, yeah, a massive round of applause, because to keep Brighton goalless when they had so many shots is like, yeah, nah, fair enough. And of course, it wasn't just one player. If I could, I might have put another Brentford centre back in, but I thought out of the three, he was the best one of the lot, doing in so many tackles, aerial duels. He was just very, very solid. And that's all you want from your centre back. That's why I say it so much. Like, he was just solid, you know, solid, solid. That's all you want from your center backs. You don't need nothing special, nothing flary. As long as they do the job, stop the goals from going in, you can't ask for much more. And he did exactly that in that game. And yeah, 0-0, a clean sheet against Brighton, facing so many shots, definitely did a good job to stop Brighton from scoring. So that is my three center backs in this team. Now, I can't lie, I don't really know why I didn't start with a goalkeeper, but we'll get onto that now. So my goalkeeper for this team in a week I have picked is Mark Flecken. Now, like I said just before, Brentford so, so solid in that game. Of course, you know, they did concede a lot of shots, but what do you expect when their midfield was overloading, when Brighton's midfield was overloading Brentford? And yeah, you can't keep them, you know, shotless, goalless forever. And they didn't keep him shotless, of course, but they kept him goalless. And that's a big thanks, like I said, to the whole center, to the whole defenders, but especially Mark Flecken. He made 6 big saves and, of course, got the clean sheet. So I think it is a well-deserved spot for him. I think Collins and Mark Flecken, you know, and of course, that defense as a whole, like I've been saying, really won that point for Brentford. A much-needed point, you could say, because lingering around that relegation zone, I don't think they will go down, but you just never know. So they need to keep rolling on and getting the points. And that was a big thanks to those two. So onto the midfield. And I can't lie, I think I confused myself when I started talking about the formation at the start, how I had said maybe 2 defensive midfielders, but it is just the one sitting above the 2 center backs in that pretty much of a 6 role I have got is Rodri. Now, I mean, there's not much you have to say, really, because he is such a quality player. Against Villa, did amazing. You know, he's always top quality. But for him to get a goal and assist in that game just shows you how vital he is for that team. And, of course, they did beat Villa 4-1 and, you know, Foden's starring in the show. But if it wasn't for Rodri, and always in every game, if it wasn't for Rodri dictating the play, just being that solid player to not let the other team attack freely, and then he gets the ball and plays it out, they would be a much worse team, that's for sure, City. And of course, you know, like I said, always plays solid, but for him to also get a goal and assist in that defensive midfield role, he deserves a spot in this team. So my other 2 midfielders I'm going to talk about are sitting in kind of number 8 roles, you know, just above Rodri. One's going to be a bit more defensive and one can roam a bit more freely. So the first one where I'm going to hold a little bit more defensive is Pascal Gross. Now, I do know they drew to Brentford 0-0 and, you know, you could say, well, does he deserve a spot? Because he didn't get any assists or, you know, made them get a goal, but he plays in that kind of defensive midfield role, but adds a lot more freedom to go up. So yeah, I'd say that number eight role is pretty suitable for him. But what can you do when you're giving him the chances, giving your team the chances, and they can't put him away? I don't think you should be faulted for that. And I thought he played a pretty good game. I can't lie, Pascal Gross was like my last player to put in the team. Like, I had a list of names. I'm like, yep. And I was like, oh, I've only got 10 players. I need one more. And I was looking through, and I'm like, I probably need another midfielder. Who should I pick? And I saw Pascal Gross, and I thought, yeah, nah, fair enough. You deserve it. Because he had so much of the ball, 140 touches. And like I was saying, he made so many chances for Brighton. And I don't think he should be hindered for them not capitalizing on them. So he did make 7 chances for his team. And of course, none of them got put away, didn't get any assists. But you've got to say, for him to be on the ball so much and give his team those chances, I think he definitely deserves a spot in this team. Because say he's got these players, I'm putting the team around him, then he's bagging a few, that's for sure, and getting assists. So a well-deserved spot. The other midfielder next to Pascal Gross, I have got Alexis McAllister, of course. Now, like I said, in the roles, he's a bit more of an attacking player, you have to say. So that's why I said in the role, he's in that 8 position, but he can have a bit more freedom and push on, where Gross is a little bit more defensive. And I mean, he's been so good lately. And I know this is not what it's about. It's not based on form. It's just who's the best this week in their, you know, given game. And I thought lately he's been so good, deserves a mention. And of course, in the game against Sheffield, pulled one out of the bag, a stunning goal. And even if he didn't score, I would have put him in because he was so vital in our game, just playing the balls and just, wow. You know, lately just been dictating the games, and he did exactly the same this one, just so good. And mate, you've got to talk about his goal. It is a goal of the season contender. It really is just astonishing, really. Just gets played back the ball, smashes it top corner. I mean, I spoke about it before on the pod, but, you know, for the video, for the team of the week, unreal finish, really. And yeah, 100% deserves a spot. What a man, what a player. Absolutely love him. And then we're on to our kind of 3 in the line. So we have our 3 centre backs. I mean, I don't know why I'm doing the fingers, because you probably see, you know, you've got the 3 centre backs, goalkeeper behind, obviously, Rodri sitting in front, then McAllister and Pascal Gross sitting above him. And then we have Morgan Gibbs-White in that attacking midfielder role above the 2-8. So a beautiful game by him, really, in Forest. He always dictates the play and he's always performs good, you've got to say. But when Forest win, it's nearly always thanks to him. Of course, the team played really well as a whole, but when they win, he just shines. And in the game, you know, a goal and assist against Fulham as well. Of course, they were at home, but to beat him 3-1, I thought they did very well. And his assist to Odoi, mate, that through ball is an absolute killer. So lethal, and yeah, pitch precision perfect, that was. And then his goal, you know, a banger, puts it in the back of the net, easy as you like. And that's what you need for these little teams, your big players to rise up and shine and, you know, get those goals and assists and to put your team in front. He did exactly that, and not even just about him scoring and assisting, just him in the game as a whole, because he doesn't just stay forward. He, of course, drops back so much and helps the defense and then plays out and goes forward, and just unreal performance by him. And yeah, for sure, he was one of my first players in the team. Unreal performance. Good on him. Then the 2 players out wide. So we'll start on the left-hand side first. I have Alejandro Garnacho. So, of course, scored 2 goals against Chelsea, and he thought he did score the winner, but just not the case. And I mean, we'll talk about the next player a bit later on, but he shined. So yeah, Garnacho, I thought, definitely deserved it. Took his chances very well, played solid. And again, because he's that player out on the wing, he also comes back and helps the defense a bit as well. So I thought a really good game by him. When he had his chances, took it, but just so unlucky. And I mean, he got given the Man of the Match award, but then, of course, taken off him. But yeah, I thought really good player, definitely deserved a shout for the team and made it. So good on him. Because, you know, this is a massive achievement. It's got to be, you know, some players might win the Ballon d'Or, but if you're not in Baz's team of the week, then are you really a good footballer? No, I'm just joking. But yeah, you know, good on him. Played really well and in the team. And now the man on the right played in the same game as Garnacho. I mean, you would have guessed it by now. Cole Palmer. What a player he is and what a game he had. Stepped up. He scored a hat trick. And genuinely, I think if you score a hat trick in the Premier League and I do team of the week for that game week, you're automatically in. It doesn't matter what. Because yeah, he was unreal, took his chances, a penalty slotted, had another one slotted, and then had a shot, deflected, of course, but still scored, and that's all that matters. Went past the goal line, back of the net, you love to see it. At least I love to see it, because obviously, Liverpool fan, I don't like Man United, and I really like Cole Palmer, I'm not going to lie, so good on him. I've got to say, I'm happy for him, and yeah, just the nerves on him is crazy because he just doesn't feel it. Steps up penalties and takes them. I don't want to waffle too much because there should be a video out already of me talking about that Man U Chelsea game. And of course, talk a lot about him because big man steps up, scores a hat trick in the fixture. So good on him. And yeah, scores a hat trick. Of course, he's in the team of the week. And of course, gets the man of the match for the Man U Chelsea game. Then our last player in this team up front, I've chucked him in the number 9 role because I think he can do a job. Of course, he can drop down. I think all the forwards and even, you know, Gibbs White in that attack and midfield role are so fluent. They can just move around however they like because that's what they're going to do and that's how they will score the goals if they play it as a team. But like I said just before, if you score a hat trick, you're pretty much automatically in my team of the week. And this man did exactly that. Phil Foden against Aston Villa. A beautiful hat trick, you've got to say. Again, like Cole Palmer, just took his chances. Just whenever they came, bang, bang, bang. And yeah, unreal. I mean, I've talked about his goals in the podcast already. And if you haven't listened to it, you know, check out the whole podcast, not just this clip here. But yeah, unreal, massive for Manchester City. Lately, his form, I mean, this whole season really, his form has been outstanding, really stunning. And yeah, just another hat trick this season, second or third. But you know, he scored a lot of hat tricks in his time in the Premier League last season, getting one or two, I think, maybe just one. But yeah, unreal by him. And really, to shine in this Manchester City team, fair dues, mate. Like, I've got to take my hat off to you because that is so hard to do because there is no individuals in that team. It is all a combined squad effort. And yeah, for him to just put the ball in the back of the net 3 times and not be that out-and-out striker is unreal because, of course, Erling Haaland can do it and he's done it a fair few times already for City. But, you know, a lot of them are just tap-ins or, you know, just a nice dribble run that he got a through ball from De Bruyne. But you got to say, a lot of Foden's goals was him. Like, the first one, the free kick. He won the free kick in the first place and then took it. Of course, you know, Zaniolo being a bit of a wuss, in my opinion. Being a bit of a wuss, in my opinion, and jumping out of the wall. But, you know, still puts it in the corner. Still puts it in the corner, Foden. His second one, you could argue, you know, a little bit of a tap in. He didn't have to do much except, you know, the exceptional finish that he did. And then his other one, he loses the ball and then wins it back, takes a touch, top corner. So doing insanely well. It will be interesting to see how well he does in the Euros for England because I'm really looking forward to that. And yeah, shining in that City team, unreal. I think he's definitely got a spot in my team this season. I can't wait as well to do that episode about it when the Premier League season finishes. But yeah, unreal, deserve that spot up front. So that is my team of the week for game week 31. I'll run through it quickly again. So in goals, I've got Mark Flecken, the 3 centre backs, Collins, Kelly, and Oshie. The midfielders, as the DM, I've got Rodri, the 2 8s, McAllister, and Pascal Gross. And then Morgan gives White in the attacking midfield role. For the players, out wide, Garnacho on the left, Palmer on the right, and then Phil Foden up front. So I think that's a pretty good team. I think all players that played well are in fact in the team. And I couldn't honestly think, because usually when I do this, I'll have like also a list of honorable mentions, you could say, and I'll, you know, quickly just run through them. Like, I didn't put, you know, let's say, for example, Marcus Rashford, because I just didn't think he was good enough, and I thought Cole Palmer was better, whatever. You know, just an example, because Rashford, what, played half hour in that Chelsea game, didn't even start. So, yeah. And that is the end of the episode. A pretty good one, I'd say. I do have to apologize, though, because I did find that in the middle of the podcast, I'd say, I was a little bit low energy. I think that was just due to tiredness, and I was like, oh, I've got to do this podcast, and I've got to record another one, because the game week's so close together. But, you know, that's no excuse. You know, I want to put these out. I do enjoy doing it, so I should have been up and about for it. So apologies for that, but, you know, a good Premier League summary and team of the week at the end. What more can you ask for, really? But if you have enjoyed, give me a follow. Whatever you can do to help out the podcast would be greatly appreciated. And don't forget as well to check out the YouTube channel, Backline Banter. I mean, of course, same name as the podcast. And because I will have a few clips from this podcast on the YouTube channel, just, you know, two videos, I'm thinking, because the highlight round with Chelsea Man U and then my team of the week segment. So that should be pretty good. You know, give it a watch. I reckon you will enjoy it. And yeah, with that being said, I'll see you later in the next episode. Should be out in a couple days. By the weekend or during the weekend, maybe. We'll see. Very busy at the moment. So yeah, see you later.